We are the light of the world. You are the only light of the world. There's no other light. There is no other light in America but the church. And we have to be the church for the light to really manifest itself.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. On the program today, Pastor Bill continues his study in the Epistle of 1 Peter and continues the message, The Fiery Trial. Let's join Pastor.
He stood right by Paul's side and strengthened him, and Nero was right there in front of him. Think about that for a moment. He says, and he strengthened me, he poured power into Paul. And it says, so that the message, what message? The gospel, the good news of Christ, amen? The gospel might be preached fully through me. Listen, do you know that was Paul's last sermon? That was also Paul's last imprisonment. Can you imagine him standing before Nero? The Lord Jesus standing with him, strengthening him, and he testifies. He gives an answer, and it's all about Jesus. Amen? Oh, man. He says, he preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear, meaning the good news. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Paul's fiery trial brought glory to Jesus Christ. And there he is. Paul is standing before Nero in that packed courtroom and his last sermon. And like it said there in the scripture, on their part, Nero, Rome, all of them, on their part, he, meaning Jesus, well, he's blasphemed. But it says, but on your part, meaning Paul, on ours, Jesus is glorified. When I think about that moment, I try to visualize it in my mind. What kind of love God has for all people? I mean, he gave Nero was a psychotic killer. Man, read his history. He gave him his last opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. He gave Nero that opportunity, loved one. Man, and he heard the good news from the greatest apostle that ever lived who knew it was over. He knew. The Bible says in Timothy that Paul says, I know my departure is at hand. He goes on and he says, listen, Timothy, I finished the race. I fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Amen. And that's what he did. And then he said one more thing. He says in verse 18 of chapter 4, of 2 Timothy, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me, or literally bring me safely home, meaning heaven, to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen, he says. Now listen, Paul told Timothy, it's over with. Everybody is, they're gone. Only Luke was with me. Get Mark and bring Mark. Get my coat and bring the parchments, especially the parchments, his books. And he says, come before winter. Remember? And here Paul says, I know now how my life will end. He's there in the Mamertine prison. He says, I know it's over, but I did fight the good fight. I did keep the faith. Amen? And listen to me now. He could have said as he was there, because there was only one light in the Mamertine. Remember, it came right down on that prison. And he was penning that 2 Timothy, his last epistle, before he died there in that prison. And he said, I know that I sit here and I'm cold. I know that everybody is gone. And I know that I am penniless. And I know that I am friendless. And then Paul says, I tell you, to Jesus be glory forever and ever and ever. What kind of fiery trial can stand up to the spirit of glory and of God when it is resting upon you? Amen. That's what we need to see here. Look at verse 15. But let none of you, another command, let none of you suffer as a murderer, thief, evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. So he's saying, listen, he's warning you, if you're suffering, you better suffer for the right reason, because those are the wrong reasons. Amen? And they're not for Jesus' sake. I want you to note something here, though, in this text, because this is a strange, it seems like it doesn't fit, but in here. But I'm assuming that, you know, if you are going through horrible persecution, you might murder people. Do you understand? Yeah. Huh? Okay. But I want you to notice that Peter puts murder and being a busybody in the same verse. Does that kind of bother you? I don't want to be a busybody. You know what a busybody is? Let me give you the definition from the Greek. A busybody is a self-appointed overseer in other people's matters. I don't want anything to do with your matter, okay? There you go. Now, yet if anyone suffers as a Baptist, if anyone suffers as a Pentecostal, if anyone suffers as a Calvary Chapelite, Christian. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. That's a command. Here's another one. But let him give glory to God in this matter. Now, Christian is only mentioned three times in the New Testament. It's mentioned here and twice in the book of Acts, chapter 11, chapter 26, I believe. But see, when the term Christian was not a term of endearment then, it was a term of ridicule. It was the Romans who gave them that name. And there was a ridicule, mockery, and all of that, and so forth. But he said, let him not be ashamed if you're suffering. How can we be ashamed of anything? You know what the Bible tells us in Hebrews 2:11? That Jesus, our Lord, that God is not ashamed to call us brothers. Does that ever bother you? I mean, think about that. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. The King of Kings, the Sustainer, the Creator of all things, he is not ashamed to say, Bill, you're my brother. You understand? Oh, listen, we are the same family, and we can say we are definitely the fellowship of the unashamed, amen? But there are some people that Jesus is going to be ashamed of. Luke 9:26, he says this, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory, in his Father's, and of the holy angels. Peter wasn't ashamed when he died. Was Paul ashamed when he died? No, listen to what he says. In 2 Timothy 1:12, he tells Timothy, he says, for this reason, Timothy, meaning because he was a preacher of the good news of Jesus Christ, for this reason, I also suffer these things, meaning I'm in prison and I know I'm going to be executed. He says, I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I have no regrets. Isn't that a wonderful way? Think of all that Paul went through. Think of all the stripes, the imprisonments, the stonings. He said, I'm not ashamed. I don't have one regret by following Jesus Christ. And he says, for I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I have committed unto him until that day, meaning his life. Paul says, I know I'm okay. Look at verse 17. For the time has come, or the time has arisen, for judgment to begin at the house of God. Now, in our context, it began literally, really, with Nero, okay? Now, in just a few years, also remember what Vespasian is going to do? He's going to send his son Titus into Jerusalem, and then in AD 70, Jerusalem's going to be leveled, okay? So the whole area is in horrible conflict, not just Rome, but also Israel, Jerusalem, and all of that. But if you study out church history, it began with Nero, and if you go through and see for nearly 300 years, okay, the suffering and persecution, and it gets worse, especially at the very end under, I think his name was, I don't know if I pronounce it right, Dio Clinton or something, not Bill Clinton, but Di Clinton, I don't know what it is, but he was the worst. But then Constantine came, and then it ended, remember? Christianity became a state of Rome, state religion. Now, so it says here, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God, the good news? And now he quotes Proverbs 11:31. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner, where will they appear? Now listen, very important now. Judgment, when judgment comes, judgment is not punishment. Our Father does not punish his children. He disciplines us in love. Amen? Okay, that's very important. Did Jesus take our punishment? Did he take our sin, our shame, our guilt? everything. Jesus, man, he paid it all to him I owe. Amen? So Scripture is clear. We're going to be hated in the world. We're going to be persecuted in the world. And that's just the way it is. But it says there, if we are barely saved by grace, what about the lost who do not obey the good news? They don't come to Christ. They don't want anything to do with him. You know, and that's a warning. What a warning to the lost. Come to Jesus. Yes, if you come to Jesus, you will have trials. You might even have the fiery trial come into your life. But if you don't come to him, well, there is something that you don't want to expect, and it's called a flaming fire. Let me give you the scripture. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those, meaning those unbelievers who trouble you. Nero, you know, he died at, I think it was age 30. He killed himself. When they do all these things, they think God is never going to do anything about it. Yes, he is. It says, God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you and give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And here it is, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. Not vengeance, not rage, justice, okay? Taking vengeance or justice on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Man, that should break our hearts. What is everlasting destruction? It's not annihilation. Amen? And it can't be that. No, it's not going out of existence. It doesn't mean temporary suffering. It means this. It means a person is banished forever and ever. Utter loneliness, just cut off from everything good. Emptiness that they have never had. Why? Because they did not come to Christ. You know, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That means eternal death, loved one, not just physical death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus told us in Matthew 25:41, he said hell wasn't made for man. They said hell was made for the devil and his angels. Amen? He's made a way to not go to hell. Boy, what a word. Listen, verse 19, therefore let, another command, let those who suffer according to the will of God do something. What? That's another command. Commit their souls, commit their lives to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. In chapter 3 of 1 Peter, there in verse 14, it says, if we suffer for righteousness' sake, in other words, if we do what's right, we do what's good, we live for the Lord, he says, we are blessed. Now listen to me. If we suffer, no, the fiery trial, nothing has changed. Do you understand that? I mean, no matter what we face in this life, nothing is going to change that. It says, remember back in chapter 2, verse 9, what does Peter tell us? He says, we are a chosen generation. Man, God chose us. Amen? We're still a chosen generation. You know, Jesus chose us. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. Listen, we're still a royal priesthood. We're adopted into the royal family. Amen? We're still his own special people. Nothing's changed if we're going through tribulation, if we're going through the fiery trial. And as we do, we have a great responsibility, loved one. It tells us this in the same place I'm reading from, that you proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a day that's going to be, amen? What a day. Oh, man, we're no longer in darkness. We were darkness, the Bible says in Colossians, not just living in a dark world. We were darkness, but now light. We're the light of the Lord. Live as sons of the light, amen? Oh, and he says here, he says, commit your souls to the Lord if you're going through that fiery trial. Now, the word commit is a banking term. It means to deposit something for safekeeping. Well, what do you deposit? Lord, I'm depositing, I'm committing my life to you. You're my creator. You're going to take care of me. Amen? And that's what we're doing. Listen, you see that word faithful creator there? Did I read that? Yeah. As to a faithful creator. Do you know that's the only place in the New Testament where those two words are found? So the one who created you, the one who created me, the one who chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, Our Creator, He is faithful. He is always faithful. When we are faithless, the Bible says, He remains faithful. Amen? Oh, all the time. Now listen, it says in chapter 2, verse 22, remember what it says? It says, for to this, Peter writes, you were called because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. You should follow His steps. And let's follow His steps for a moment. Do you remember there that Jesus, did you know that Jesus used that same word, commit? The same Greek word, actually. In Luke 23, 46, remember what Jesus said? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I'm going to tell you something. Our Father is faithful. He is always faithful. He is the faithful God. And I'm going to say something, and I know this is true, and I want you to, I hope you get this into your heart. Our Father in heaven has never failed any of His children. Never. No matter what we go through, He has never and will never fail you. You may hurt, you may cry, you may weep, you may be broke. Whatever you go through in this life. You remember, listen, do you remember Juan Miranda? The pastor, the author, I just remember this. I put this over here and then I forgot I even had it. He was a Romanian pastor. They tortured him in prison. Let me just read what they did to him, if you don't mind. Because he spent 14 years behind the Iron Curtain, okay, in atheistic communism. And he writes in his book, it says here in the book, Tortured for Christ, you've probably read that. He recalled his captors. He said, I've seen communists whose faces, while torturing believers, shone with rapturous joy. They cried out while torturing Christians, we are the devil, one torturer said, and I thank God in whom I don't believe that I have lived to this hour when I can express all the evil in my heart against you. Did God fail him? No. I can assure you that the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon him, as it does with anyone when we're going through it. No different from last Sunday when I talked to you. Remember the clapping martyr? You know, we talked about that. Listen, you know why he could clap even though he was burnt to a crisp there on the stake? The reason is that because the Spirit of God, the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon him. Remember? Were y'all here last week? All right, praise the Lord. Now, as we prepare for communion, I'm going to say some things that you're not going to like. And I want every heart to be opened right now. And I ask the Lord, don't let me say any of this, what I'm about to say, unless, Lord, you give me the unction in my spirit. I know that I'm a strange man. That's okay. The Bible even says we are a peculiar people. And I've always been a very optimistic person. I love life, I love people, but sometimes I just see things. And I hope I'm wrong in things that I see. And I'm going to share some things with you, and I pray that you take this the right way. And I just want you to listen to me, and if any of it bears witness with you, then so be it. If it doesn't bear witness with you, then throw it out. Is that a deal? Yeah, in other words, you know how what's that expression? And then spit out the bones. What's that expression? Eat the chicken and spit out the bones, or whatever. I don't know what it is. And I want to read this because I only penned it last night as I was praying, and I said to some Christians today, these verses that I read are more like a fairy tale because they believe that God loves us too much to allow us to ever suffer. Like those verses said. And then there's some Christians today, they teach and believe that suffering is not part of doctrine. That suffering for Jesus, that's not even a biblical worldview. I was in a meeting one time. I will not mention his name. He's on TV. I was at his meeting. I heard him say these words, and I've never forgotten it. And this was over 50 years now ago. He was talking about suffering. He was talking about Paul the Apostle suffering, and here's his exact words. He said, if that little Jew had any faith, he would have never suffered the way he did. I got up and I walked out. I've never forgotten that moment. I've never forgotten the feeling that came into my heart. Now, I'm going to try to read lovingly what I have. Is that okay? I said, loved ones, the church today must awake out of sleep. We say from the pulpit and privately about America, about our children, about America's little boys that are being castrated and the little girls who are being mutilated. And then I write, what are we doing about it? And I said, the same thing we did when our nation redefined marriage. Nothing. All we did was talk. That's all we did. I said, the American church now, we have suffered, it seems, the same consequences of what is happening in our nation. I said, the American church, it seems, they have been neutered. Neutered into inaction. Castrated into silence. I said, what will we do when we find out that our country, our government, has started to redefine the church of Jesus Christ? What will we do? Because it's happening. I said, well, it won't be difficult to do that. The American church has sold itself. We are now the church comfortable. Comfortable entertainment, feel-good sermons, celebrities who are pastors, and we have embraced a do-nothing Christianity. Have we become a house of Jesus namers and not Jesus followers? And I said, why? I said, is it because the American church has so closely identified herself with the American culture? Pastor Chuck said many years ago, I've never forgotten it, the tragic mistake of the modern church is its declaration of independence from the Holy Spirit to direct our activities. Our declaration of independence from the Holy Spirit. We today in our nation, I say this full of love, man, listen. We have moved the church into a building. We practice isolation and not insulation. We've turned church, that just church, you know, we treat church as an event to go to. When we are the church, we have to stop being churched and become the church now. We need to repent, and we need to ask God to send the Holy Spirit back to the churches in our country. Into this church again. Do you understand me? Listen to me now. Persecution and darkness is coming. The church today does not believe it, and the church today in our nation does not expect it. And neither did the people, the Jewish believers that we're talking about. We have to return to our place, who we are. Do you understand? And we have to return to our calling, and we have to return to our purpose. We are the salt of the earth. We really are. We are the light of the world. In the Greek, it would read, Jesus would say it this way, you are the only light of the world. There's no other light. There is no other light in America but the church. And we have to be the church for the light to really manifest itself. Jesus told us those things. He said that you're a city that has been set upon a hill that cannot be hidden, meaning everybody sees it. Well, you know what? This city needs to see us. This city and this state needs to see us. I'm talking about us. The devil needs to see. And so he will tremble.
On Love Never Fails next time, Pastor Bill's study in 1 Peter will continue, and we hope you'll tune in once again. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the broadcast, and we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International,
or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.